Hello, and welcome to The Raw Bar. I'm Goddess Cecilia, pleasure educator and consultant, and I will be your host. I've invited my friends and colleagues to sit, snack, get real, and probably a little salty about sexuality and pleasure. We've also saved a seat for you. And because of the nature of this podcast, we want to make sure that you're aware that there will be conversations about sexuality, sexual acts, probably some spicy language, and a bunch of other things that are definitely not appropriate for younger ears. So give yourself some solo time if you can. Grab a drink like tea, wine, water, or boba. Don't forget your snackies. Ease in and get comfy. Here's to a pleasurable time together. This season of Raw Bar with Goddess Cecilia is brought to you by MysteryPleasureBox.com. Surprise yourself with a subscription to MysteryPleasureBox.com, a fun and affordable way to discover new sex toys and novelty products every month, billed and delivered discreetly. You get an arsenal of potions, lotions, sex toys, and bedroom accessories picked by industry experts. Every box you receive is packed with high-quality, full-size, brand-name products from brands you know and love. So sign up at MysteryPleasureBox.com and use code GODDESS for 10% off your first box. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Raw Bar with Goddess Cecilia. I'm super excited to be joined by someone who I consider a dear friend and colleague and partner in this wacky, is putting it lightly,
it is,
world and industry that we belong in, right? So I'm going to read your bio, all right? And then we'll begin with the questions.
Let's do it.
All right. So Catherine Elaine is the proud owner of House of Body, an adult novelties company that centers and celebrates Black people of color, queer folks, and people of marginalized genders. She has a passion for making sure that approachable and informed pleasure reaches communities where it has not always been vibrantly, comprehensively, and consistently represented. If you'd like more information, different details, or some more embellished language, you're reading it to me. There's a link to your bio. I think that this is perfect. Check out House of Body at houseofbody.com. That's HouseOfBody.com. I don't know where you'll end up if you misspell that.
Also, can I just have you pre-record that and just play it for anybody who asks questions? That was so, like, I could say it cool, but then you could say it better.
I'm down to be voiceover acting. Like, yeah. I feel like I've never ever thought of that, but I'll do it for you.
I'd be so dead. It's like salad is awesome, but taco salad is amazing. Like,
taco salad.
I'm saying that because I'm hungry.
Feel free to snack, right? This is very casual conversation among people that I love, who I feel like the world needs to know of. And this is just my way to boost up and uplift all the people that I like really, truly care about. Plus, I started this last summer. And it was clearly a way for me, this is super selfish, and I don't care, but it was a way for me to reconnect with people who I hadn't seen in a year, like in such a long time. And it's like,
a bit of selfish.
I know. You're right. Good. Okay. Fair.
No, I think it's awesome. I've thought of so many different puns when I posted about today. I was like, ooh, I'm excited. But Dive Deep is taken. That's your jam. And I was like,
all right.
So we can go towards the Eating Pussy vibe, or we can go towards the Going Raw vibe, because it is the Raw Bar. I was like, oh, this is exciting. I've got so much
left. All of that is acceptable. Basically, I'm here for literally all the ocean related, mermaid related, eating pussy related puns. So,
Which one?
Yes. So seriously, feel free to, like, if you have something to snack on, munch on, please don't hesitate.
Which, because I forgot to hurry up and make something, because I told you, I was like, are you with my hair?
Yes.
So today I have my tea, my fine china.
Oh, snaps.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, let me, This is completely not sex-related until it gets sex-related. Watch this. The dopeness that is Black History all the time, but Black History Month is today by one, me. By two, Ivy's Tea Company, Trap China. He's got a hip-hop themed tea company, or like good quality teas, not the crushed up Lipton jugget. And I got fine china that says Freak Ho. So tea.
I love that so much.
Freak Ho by House of Body.
I love that whole combination. I don't have anything like that.
And then on the saucer. It's like the bougiest, ratchetest thing I've ever. It's awesome.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I have a Starbucks mug, but it's mermaid themed, obviously. And the tea I'm drinking is actually called Sabat, which is a Filipino ginger and turmeric based tea. It's so good. Yeah.
That's literally my favorite. So, like, I make big pots, like embarrassingly large pots of ginger turmeric tea by hand. I'll shave the ginger, cut it into pieces, put the turmeric in there, put a couple cinnamon sticks, and at the end I'll get my honey. Sometimes I'll do cardamom seeds, sometimes I'll like other things. Sometimes I'll be fancy and make it a milk tea instead. So I need that for when I'm feeling lazy and don't want to cut the ginger.
Yeah, seriously. Like, it's just, you just scoop it. It's like powder in the jar. Scoop it in. It's perfect, honestly. I was so excited when I found this in the one. No, there's several Filipino markets now in Massachusetts, but the one that's closest to me, which is in Quincy. And so, yeah. Shout out to Shure Pinoy.
Yes. Closer to where there's, how do I want to say this on the internet? To where there are markets with more diversity than what Whole Foods might offer at a premium. That's where
Yes.
The next time I see one of their price points for something somebody's grandma has, I'm gonna freak.
Oh my gosh. That's literally a whole separate conversation. Like, literally all the things that but even more recently, people where the white women have been like, look at this thing that I've discovered. And you're like, I don't know if you've seen this. I've seen it, obviously, because I'm Filipino, and like all of the Filipino people I've followed are blowing up about it. But some women, I think she was in Vogue.
Oh boy.
Was like, look at this pattern of weaving that I like created by using old t-shirts. And it was like, oh, you mean the rags that we make? The rags the Filipinos have been making for years, and probably not just Filipinos, for sure. Yeah. You mean like any third world country that has had hand-me-downs of old t-shirts?
Yeah, look at the thing that I hand-me-down that I, what is my favorite? Upcycling. That's my favorite. I'm like, so reusing shit? Like, we've been doing that.
Yeah, it's... That's literally, we were taught these three letters, the three R's, for a very long time. Like, it's not new.
That's been my favorite, are the ancestors of pilgrims telling folks all of these, or descendants of, rather, telling folks all of these amazing things they discovered while they were in quarantine, like unleavened bread, and all the Indian folks are like, nah, that's what y'all made. Or brand new essential oils and bleach and cleaning in case you run out of Lysol, and Black folks are just like, you mean bleach and vinegar? Like, we've been doing that. Yeah, it's wild. It's fun. It's fun though to hear all of the discovery, all of the new versions of boxer braids that have been.
It's just like colonization has never actually stopped.
Yeah. Shout out to the white lady in the grocery store who said she liked my dreads because she thought they were Instalocks. I'm like, ma'am, we don't do that.
God bless you for not accidentally tripping.
I thought about it, and she felt like we were like sisters because she also had like her version of my hair, and I was like, oh, yeah.
I see. That is definitely when you just have to be like, exactly. And just walk away.
I forgot their name. They're on, they do like live videos on like Instagram and Facebook and stuff. And their laugh for like stupid customers. So they like pretend to be the crappy customer and like the manager.
Yeah, yeah.
all the, and he's got like these dope wigs, and every time they do something, so he's like, it's so funny. It's so
funny. My God.
I just
love it
for that jaw movement, whatever that is.
Yes. It's a good thing to practice probably too, like for real life.
I know that that's what I should have done. As soon as she was like, I love your hair. I'm not, not, I'm sorry. But I haven't seen you forever. See, this is why it's not selfish.
I know. This is what's happening. This is literally what happens a lot of time. We just start like shooting the shit. Anyways, let me bring us back because we're here for a reason.
The thing.
All right. Okay. Let's start from technically not the beginning, but the, where I would like to start, which is how did House of Body come to be?
House of Body came to
Yes. Let me grab my tea. I don't know why I thought I was going to try to grab it with the other hand. Like I'm flexible like that.
My cup is pretty too.
Oh, it is. Oh, and also I think I talked about this last week, but I've invested in this like $7 for this little thing that like keeps my mug warm. It was on Shein. I'm not actually proud of that part, but it was pretty cool.
I want it though. So
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I'll share the link. Don't you worry.
Text it to me so we're not making money for people who aren't making money for us on a platform that's also for us. So don't text it on Instagram is what I said.
Fair, fair.
So House of Body came to be more than surviving capitalism. And it was based out of love and frustration and necessity, honestly. I've been dealing in this wacky world, like you said, of adult novelties for quite some time before House of Body. And my frustration was I did not see people who lived, loved, looked like me being represented, being front and center, being spoken about and advertised to and taught in ways that didn't hypersexualize them or make them some really crappy stereotype or even center how it is that queer folks have sex, that center how it is Black folks communicate in the way we even flirt with each other, that center toys that work no matter if you are disabled, if you have a larger body, if you are having sex with somebody that doesn't or does have your own genitals. Like, it was just frustrating that I felt like I was screaming into the void. Like every other classic Black mom ever, I was like, fuck it, I'll do it myself. And that House of Body was born. I think it's important that it happened during a pandemic. I think it's important that it happened during the height of the sociopolitical unrest of 2019, 2020, because a lot of what Black folks weren't being able to enjoy was joy. So it was purposeful that with everything going on, with all of the fight, with all of the death, with all of the struggle, nobody's body is supposed to be at that level of stress all the time. So here's a way we can release. Here's a way we can rest. Here's a way we can connect because nobody else is offering us that.
Yes.
That's why.
Yes. And as I'm going to brag a little bit here, but speaking as someone who knew that this was going to be happening before it was like public, it made me just like exceedingly happy. And I don't say this lightly, but has really inspired me to make some of the moves that I made in the past year, because I'm not going to get into it, but there was just a lot. There was a lot. And there's stuff, Catherine, that I haven't even told you yet.
Figure that out.
Me too. And seriously, we like, especially because my schedule is a little freer now. Like, I have time for that. And I say that as another woman of color who has tried very hard to attempt to create safer spaces for other women of color. You know what I mean? And trying to use the 100% light skin privilege that I have as a light skin woman of color to try to almost be a bridge. But it was like, no, because then I just get trampled on.
Like being able to be the bridge until someone chooses not to cross it because you are the one who's the bridge. And it was frustrating seeing you in that position because what you were attempting to create what you were attempting to create was important and was powerful. And quite honestly, you, when I first even entered into this industry, one conversation with you is the first and only reason in the beginning why I stayed. I felt neglected. I felt frustrated. I felt lost. And you decided to just check in, and I accidentally gave you way too much like ire because I was pissed. And you were like, whoa.
I don't actually remember that. I don't remember the ire. It wasn't directed towards me, clearly.
You called and it was just like, how are we doing? And I'm like, this is bullshit. And you were like, hey, let's talk about it. And we did, and it got sorted. And I do not think that without that, I think that without that conversation, I wouldn't have even been in the industry long enough to get to House of Body. So that was super important.
Oh, Catherine, that means so much. I'm not gonna cry.
I remember I purposely wanted to keep that in mind because I was like, I don't know that I ever actually told her that any time, like there was more than one instance, but that was the first really huge moment. But anytime I did not feel seen or felt like I was driving into a wall constantly, there were two very distinct conversations I remember having with you that I was like, all right, I got this. And if I don't, I'll figure it out. But yeah, the very first conversation, I was at like 90-ish days in this fun mirrored wildness. And you were just like, no, don't quit. Let's figure it out. And I was like, okay.
There you go. I sure am glad that you stayed and were able to build House of Body from that, because that's honestly what I hope for everybody is that like, we can't all be in the same place forever.
Yeah.
It becomes a little bit of a madhouse, and it limits the growth potential, right? And I know this for a fact, that doing what you did and starting your own business at the the beginning of the pandemic, essentially, right? That is not for the faint of heart, because in my role, there were several people that I was like, no, like I had to give it to them straight. You know what I mean? Because it was like, I know that you think that's the route you might want to take, but I also want you to use this as a foundation before you just decide to pay rent someplace.
Yeah.
And have utilities on top of your own rent. And
not easy. I want everybody to whatever business you want to be able to create, and I'm not talking about this from some position of an expert, just somebody who is exhausted because I understood what had to happen between point A and point B.
But also like fresh, really.
Fresh.
I feel like that's really important perspective.
Yeah. Anybody who wants to start anything, but especially if you want to start it in this industry, please find a way. If you've never done anything like this before, please figure out a way to test drive in a fashion that still feels true to you, but also still gives you the capacity to understand whether or not 1,000 is for you. Like, people say it all the time, it's not easy, it's not easy, it's not easy. But like you said, the fresh person is willing to tell you why. The folks that have been in it for a while are just like experts in a way that I don't know quite reach the ground level all the time. I mean, kudos to them, because I want to be that person who almost forgot what this part is. But please figure out, and I don't care what it is. If you're just like, lotion is my jam, find some place where you can sell lotion and waste somebody else's time and money trying to figure shit out before it's all on you and all in your name and all your responsibility. But that's not a warning to the daring. If you're like, fuck it, I got it, do it. That's a half my story. Yes, I gave it a test run first. However, I can't say that I knew the inner and all the moving pieces for what I'm expected to do now. And I learn every single day something. So at some point, you have to just be like, let's go. But if you are not at that place yet, please figure out a way to test drive your passion.
Yes. Okay. So that was, I would say that's like a fantastic nugget for the very beginning, the pre-launch almost. Yeah. So from launch to today, what would you say were like the big lessons that you learned in that time frame?
I can't think of a day I did not. Whether I've been glued to my computer or not, I am always learning something, and sometimes it's too late and then having to sort out what that means. But really big lesson, listening, you, I don't care how much I love any aspect of what I do. There's somebody who knows something I don't. There is somebody who has done what I'm doing already. And if I'm not willing to absorb what the lesson is in what they're saying or what they're not saying, or what I see that I should be able to emulate to not make life harder for myself, like, that's a disservice not only to me by not listening, but a disservice to all of the people that I say I'm here to serve. If I don't learn how to do X and it takes a queer person out of the running of feeling validated, I've actually am doing exactly what I said I was going to do. There's been a lot of ego checking.
Oh, that's such an important piece, the ego part, right? Because I feel like maybe, I don't know if it is because people have been in the industry for so long and there's like a certain amount of ego that has to come with specifically this industry.
Yeah.
But it's not this. To me, ego is different from confidence.
Oh.
Like, yeah. Someone being confident can still be like humble, can still be personable. And then there's like ego to me.
Which doesn't always have a negative connotation either. Ego getting in your way is a concern. But ego protecting you is not always a concern. Like you said, it holding a level of ego. When I'm in spaces that are clearly not crafted to be for me, depending on what I need out of the room, or depending on what I can gain from how to conduct myself, whatever the case may be, we all know that we are people of color, women, Black folks are always 16 different identities at any given time. But depending on what the goal is, sometimes ego serves. Sometimes people expect for me to be the demure entity because I'm supposed to be not taking up too much room. That's when ego kicks in. Because I can be confident and quiet, or I can have a little ego and disturb your day because you should not be doing that to people. When I am rising for House of Body, when I'm talking about it in spaces like this, when I am in rooms where House of Body technically shouldn't belong, I come with a level of ego. Because if I'm on 1,000, it allows other folks who might not be willing or might not know how to be on 1,000 to be on like 50. So if I don't start with the loud, if I don't start with proud, if I don't start with ego, sometimes those folks don't have a way in.
Yeah. I love that. I love the framing of that, really, because I feel like it just puts a lot of things into perspective, just as humans. Right, like just as humans, not even necessarily as a business owner, but like definitely as a business owner, but just as like humans connecting with other humans.
That's the human part of it, where that empathy and maybe a little ego might serve you. The business portion of it, take that right on out. You'll get in the way of making all your money. Don't give a shit about your feelings.
Keeping it real on the Raw Bar.
Oh,
what this is about, though. Oh, okay. Here we go. So the industry that we both belong to is technically the sexuality industry, the sex retail industry, adult industry.
Yeah.
You can give it so many names. The industry that's constantly under fire because people think that we are doing awful things with people who are not consenting. And it's like, don't get me wrong. There are sometimes situations where you're like, ooh, that person, no. Then the vast majority of people, I think, are trying to do something good and trying to honor this piece of ourselves that is often like shamed or ridiculed or told that we're bad or told to put that under the rug, hide that under the table, don't talk about it. You don't want to upset Nana.
I know. How did I get here without Nana? Stop.
Oh, yeah, because we were all just immaculately concepted somehow. But let's talk about representation in the adult industry, right? Where do you think representation is still lacking?
I think it's too broad to say everywhere, even though that's true. But if we're talking about the sex industry, it's retail specifically, pleasure, professionalism, the education, like that kind of thing. I think we're at a point in the conversation where we need to be talking less about the like commercial version of representation. Like, oh, I made a flyer. There's one Asian lady, one racially ambiguous person, two Black women, and somebody in a wheelchair. I did it. Like, we're a little bit There's enough BuzzFeed articles where people can make that checklist, check off their boxes, and seem like they're not a problem. So it's less about the face front representation and more about what that impact is at this point in time. Mm-hmm. I think we're also at a point where we are allowed to criticize and correct how that representation is happening. Meaning, if I were to just talk about just toys in general, because clearly that's the crux of what I do. If I were to just talk about toys in general, it still bothers the crap out of me that until I begin warehousing, getting there, till I begin, when I send my customers items who came to me specifically because they're a person of color, specifically because they're a Black person, specifically because they are of a marginalized gender, specifically because they're queer, the packaging is still a tiny white lady on the front of their new harness. One person actually, or a couple people, but specifically spoke to me one time and she's just like, I'm so glad you're doing this. And I'm so glad, you know, you're working towards the things that you do. Because if I were to have seen this package in a store, I never would have bought it. Granted, that item has been helpful to that person in so many ways now. Invalidating in so many ways now, but if they were have seen that in any other capacity or gotten it from somebody that wasn't already for them, they would have never bought it. So face front, that particular company has Black History posts on the 1st and the 15th, but it's still not actually trickling down in a way that makes me believe and have faith that you actually understand who and why you're representing who you claim to be face front. So where the industry is lacking is actually in the impact, is actually in the corporate structures, is actually in the listening. Anybody, any person of color without even being in this industry, just a customer, a shopper, and not just A, because they're the lifeblood, can tell you, if you put certain logos up, if you put certain companies up, they're like, why don't you buy from here? And they're like, why? I've never even heard of them. That's a cue. If you're talking to a person of color and they've never heard of your brand and don't get excited when you introduce it, why? I think that was considered nuanced at one point, and it's been bandied with this face front version of representation. I think we're at the point where, just like any other industry, the sex industry needs to be called out for what we're considering the status quo, and nobody's trying to get outside of it. I'm over doing market research, going on websites, and I never see toys my skin tone ever. Like House of Body, there's no white hands holding toys, and there's no white toys that we sell that are flesh colored. There's just not. We'll get a little light skin, but that's it, because that doesn't exist other places, and it's hard to even find those items, and they get discontinued so regularly because of about dyes and materials and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, it's because you just don't think you have a market, because the people who would make up your market don't trust you.
It's like it's much more cyclical than people think. It's just like, this is this. And it's like, everything is so much more connected than people think it is. And I have to be perfectly honest, like, I definitely feel like, and speaking as a person who was like very much advocating for like more diverse images in our marketing, that to me, the way that you phrase it as a band-aid for the situation is just like, yes. Yeah. Like I 100% own up to that. And I think that it's almost become like too easy now. Like it was meant to be a starting point. Not like,
it still is a valid starting point.
But it's not meant to be like, you got to change the fucking cast every once in a while.
Yeah. It's not how it works. It's not how it should work. Because it's see-through. Folks that you claim to be, folks that you claim to be advertising to know it's a farce. They know that you've put curtains on the window so that people don't peek inside.
That's such a good way to put that. What do you think are other identities or conversations? Let's start with identities. Do you think that there are still identities, groups of people that aren't at all represented in the industry?
I do. And what is still a learning point for me is that, one, I don't know if the list is ever going to be complete, which can be a good and a not so great thing, because people should evolve, and therefore the person that gets left out is a person that's going to create new and amazing things. But that,
right.
I understand that as like a cis woman, able-bodied, I'm going to be missing identities that I just never experienced. So I say yes. I say that the day that I get to, I don't know, turn on porn in the way that people are referenced in the search bar or even in feature becomes something that is normal. I think that people underestimate it. I do mean fucking boring. I mean that at some point, somebody coming out on TV is not going to be news. I think that as soon as those things become more regular, there's always going to be people who are not represented in the industry, are not given a mic in the industry, are not required to have a mic and work for representation in the industry. So the answer is yes. I don't think that there is enough disability represented across the board. And by disability, I don't just mean disabilities, but mental ones too. And I don't just mean physical disabilities that people still are just like, oh, this person is amputee, but they're pretty. Like, I want less palatable things. I want what people still currently see as taboo or ugly to be boring, to be regular. Those folks are not represented. I want those things to have more.
Yes, I would indeed love that. Do you think it's possible to, I'm going to say the answer is yes, but so maybe the question should be, how can we move that needle a little bit? Like, how can you as a business owner, how can people in general move that needle?
I'm just going to answer from my perspective because it's something that I had to, again, the listening, the learning is doing things on purpose and with intention. When I went to Sex Down South, for instance, there's a huge table of sexy books. And I was like, oh, in here. My first thing is I'm going to buy like erotica. I'm going to buy things that are like sound good, feel good, comfortable. I'm going to buy things with Black folks at the center. I'm going to do stuff like that. And then I saw a really dope book or different sections that specifically talk about sex and disability, that specifically talk about mental wellness and sexuality, that specifically talk about things outside of kink. And I checked the fact that I didn't want it. And I'm like, wasn't relatable. It's not something that I would have immediately thought about. And I'm like, that's why I should have it. That's why I should read it. So I think a good first step is to be intentional. What is it that you don't necessarily think about? What is it that's in your face that you avoid? What is it that makes you uncomfortable? What is something that makes you feel like, damn, I might not have been the best version of myself because of X, Y, and Z? That's the thing you got to go learn. It's the thing you got to go figure out. You got to go confront. You got to go check yourself on. And that's probably where a lot of learning and a lot of growth is. Reading that book helped me realize ways that I wasn't actually being of service to people, certain folks anyway, in ways that I could easily improve upon. One way I think is doing it intentionally. Like I said, there's enough sensational articles and Facebook posts. People know what the check boxes are, but how are you actually engaging with them?
Love that. That's real. And I feel like that's something that can be so hard for people to feel like they can do. And then I feel like there's excuse of, oh, I didn't want to like step on someone else's toes. And it's like, there's a way to learn without doing that.
That's a crappy excuse. If that's your excuse for not getting into it, if that's your excuse for not wanting to try, that's just saying, I'm not willing to get uncomfortable. Someone else will do it for me. That's what you're saying.
Oh, totally. I've seen that in a couple of posts and I'm just like, you know what?
Yeah.
Today's not the day. You haven't tipped me for this information. I'm going to remove myself because I'm going to get feisty.
Yeah. If you get feisty, it's actually pretty awesome. Whether it be because it's not incredibly like, if I were to flip a coin, I'm more likely to be like, fuck you, here's what I'm saying. Second. But once you get there, I'm like, oh, this is glorious.
I get that.
You needed to hear this. If anybody was just like, Cecilia got arrested, she punched so-and-so in the face, I'd be like, oh, they deserved it. I'm not even going to ask why.
The truth?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. You don't even know what happened, but it makes sense to me.
I'm just going to put this out there to the universe. If that ever happens, that person definitely deserved it. Because I will try to my best to use my words first.
For everything. For so many things.
Yeah.
Yeah. there's a number of people that I know where I'm just like, I would have punched that person well before this. I'm proud of you. I'm not built for that.
We all have to play a part in this game.
Yeah, but when it's deserved. I absolutely agree. Right. A lot of kindness. I think how it's applied is the...
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. Now that we've established who I will and will not punch. I'm kidding. That is not even remotely a close segue to what I was going to ask next. Forget that I said that.
Will not be televised because I broke the TV while Cecilia was breaking laws. Let's do it.
It's happening. Don't quote us.
No. I didn't do anything. Nothing's on fire. Everybody's safe.
Everything's fine. Anyway, so one of your identities that I would actually love to touch on and talk about is being Muslim, right? When honestly, I have to admit, when I learned that, I was like so excited because that is an identity that like you don't often see in the industry, but you know that they're here. It was like, I forget even how I learned, and I was in my insides, I remember being like, it's so exciting because, like, I don't ever see this. You know what I mean? And like, I know that they're here, but like,
it's definitely a thing. It's a frustration in myself, but like, bro, I can work on it. Not always as regularly practicing in some things that I know are important to me and are important to me as I can be or should be. However, it is still definitely an identity. It took me a very long time to reconcile that with my sexuality, that with my personality. That with what I love doing, that with a sense of belonging. And I did land on that. It is still a sense of identity when it informs your day-to-day, when it informs how you make decisions, when it informs how you choose to go about things, that's very much still an identity. Yeah, no, I grew up in, I call it a non-traditional Muslim family. One as a Black American Muslim, which has its own very particular identity here in the States. And then shifting into things that feel a whole lot more traditional to the community as a whole, but still understanding that I'm very much informed by childhood who isn't. And I'm grateful because the ways in which I can talk about sensuality and sexuality now are a lot to do with how my mom broke rules a little bit. There's a lot of things that I didn't necessarily have to endure or understand because it wasn't a reality I had to deal with. But... Mm. Still being able to respect the teachings of Islam, the essence of Islam, still being able to, even in my fasting, be conscious of not only how that identity informs what I do, but who it is I can reach. Because again, being quiet's not always my jam. So who it is I can feel and have them feel validated in being able to explore and however it is they practice Islam as well. How they can navigate a space that culturally is supposed to not be accepting of folks like me. It's interesting. And I do still believe there's still some work around all of the intersections I do for myself, but I'm proud to be able to find spaces and healing that I have recently around my identity.
Let's take a quick break. Check in with your body. What do you need? Do you need to stretch? Do you need to use the restroom? Do you need some extra water? Do whatever you need to take care of you, and we'll be right back. Hi, it's Goddess Cecilia. I wanted to interject really quick to let you know something. Did you know that I provide your favorite sexuality workshops in a private setting to you and your friends? Whether you want to learn all about adult toys or how to have a fun and pleasurable oral experience for the giver and receiver, you can book a session with me based on your group's availability. Not often do you get to have a personalized experience at one of these types of workshops, and I'm super excited to offer it to you. If you decide to join my Patreon page, you also get access to monthly 30-minute private consultations. Everyone should have a sexuality and pleasure educator and consultant in their contacts, and I would be honored to be yours. Okay, back to the bar.
I would actually like to talk a little bit too about some of these like misconceptions that I think people have, yeah. right? Because I actually feel this is a funny story, but maybe it isn't. But when I first got into social work school, you have to have like a field placement, right? Like your internship. And my first year internship was with an organization that was multi-faith organization. It was like heavily religious based.
Yeah.
And also spiritual. And I was like, this is very odd. I don't know how I got placed here. But it was also like, I focused a lot on the other things that weren't specific to religion anyways. But from there, I really learned that there's so much more than just like basically a lot of the things that I feel like people assume about Islam and the idea that it's very like conforming, very, oh my gosh, why can't I think of the word, restrictive. There's a lot of these that I feel like I hear and I was like, well, that's not what I'm seeing.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not like the cookie cutter version, whether it is or is not outside of the stereotype of people or their purview of understanding. However, I always stress that people make religion. People cultural understandings, and therefore people have the power to shift outside of it, but the majority of people are still going to define who gets to belong. That is important to recognize, no matter what religious organization, what, hell, even country or culture or nationality people are talking about. Yes, I understand Islam as a religion of discipline, which I think is what people should be saying instead of like hyper-restrictive discipline.
Yeah.
That's very much in a theme, understanding no matter how somebody chooses to practice culturally, there is an understanding, there is a right and a wrong way, or at least a starting point that you work from in order to accomplish pretty much anything.
Okay.
So I do absolutely still agree with that being a common theme. I agree with there still being social and cultural understandings that need a little tweaking in this day and age, but that again can shift geographically. That again can shift generationally. A lot of those things do change because people make religions and people make cultures. And there's definitely a stereotype of when people hear that, and then they also hear me like say pussy in the next sentence, and I was like, it doesn't make sense to me. I'm like, good. I don't because I need them to step outside of what it is they think they know. And that includes folks who are also devout Muslims. That's still an aspect of yourself. Sex in and of itself is not haram. So there needs to be a conversation around how we're healthily conducting these things within our marriages, within the teachings for our children, within our social understandings with one another. Sex in and of itself is not, for those unfamiliar, it would be the equivalent of a sin or a thing that you're not supposed to do in Christianity. Sex in and of itself is not. Therefore, that deserves to have a conversation. It deserves to have teaching. It deserves to have representation. It deserves not to be villainized, because then you are going to be doing and becoming and living in behaviors that you do consider haram because we didn't create some kind of foundation. There's still a validity. Now, how I do it bothers folks.
Which, like, sometimes it has to happen.
I'm okay with that. That's just, you know, the way I figure it. That's not your business. That is above any human pay grade. So you let me worry about that in the hereafter, and I'll do you.
Right. Oh my gosh. This is beyond any human pay grade. That's for real. You know what I mean? We're already as underpaid as it is.
Can we not? If you got enough time to test me and my relationship, you have too much time on your hands. And I'm hiring.
This is, look, some of those people, some of those people, I don't know if you really, they're just going to be annoying.
No. But advertising, you can throw them out if you want.
Oh my God. Okay. So just saw the time. I was like, holy crap. Has it really been, oh my God, almost an hour. I have a couple questions left.
Okay.
What? I feel like we've given there were a lot of hard truths that you dropped in this almost hour. But I'd love to hear, what is the ultimate, if you were going to sum it up or even have a whole new thing to say, what is a hard truth about sexuality and pleasure within whatever context you want to give it that people are not ready to hear? And you're just like, it's time.
A hard.
Yes, hold on. Let me grab my tea again.
A hard truth that people are not ready to hear. There's a couple that come to mind.
Ooh, I'm ready.
And I don't know that they're hard truths or hot takes. I've never taken myself to be that prolific. I just be saying.
Speaking me both.
So the two things that come to mind, one is gentle. One, I'm just going to say how it came up in my mind. The gentle version is that sex and sensuality are one different, but they are in everything. And it's everything. And I need people to get over this concept of thinking of it in bedrooms, of thinking of it in monogamy only, of thinking about it after a certain age. So much of how we're conducting ourselves in society and in things we consider self-care is informed by sensuality and easily translates into your sexual self, which doesn't always have to be some like hyper-sexualized, I'm naked and like ready to film all the time. It's still in everything. It's including the ways in which we divorce ourselves from pleasure.
Ooh.
Sexuality is in the reason why you won't let your six-year-old paint her nails red. Sexuality is in the reason why it's summertime and you feel like your shirt has to be a certain way depending on where you're going. Sexuality and sensuality is in the reason why you feel like there's something missing on your bubble bath sometimes. Sexuality is in the reason why you feel like when you've had a really hard day, coming and laying next to your partner and that turning into the surprise baby you didn't plan for feels healing. There's a reason why that still feels good. It is in the reason why people have recently started flocking to dance hall in whole new ways. It's because y'all know how to dance on the right beat. It's because of how it exists within that culture, which is definitely formed by sensuality and sexuality. So that's the gentle truth. It's in everything. Get over it and start figuring out how to navigate that.
That was gentle?
That was the gentle.
Oh, shit.
One that people aren't excited to hear about is specifically, I think, for queer folks. And that is to get heteronormativity that you like to criticize, get hypermasculinity that you like to criticize, the fuck out of your set. Because so much of what I've seen in pushback, so much of what I see represented, so much of how I see things marketed, still centers a penis. Still centers how men operate in their confidence, in their ego, and the way they show up in the world, which is also sex-informed. There's this way he's supposed to be macho and in charge because that makes him wantable, that makes him trustable, that makes him a very basic animalistic peacock feathery mate thing. Get it the hell out of your sex, because you are not representing anything differently. You are not some kind of radical counterculture if how you're choosing to engage in spaces that require empathy, that require gentle, that require an understanding that bisexual folks like me, for instance, are in a space where we still don't belong because we're somehow tainted by an Ostapenis past. Get men out of the fucking center. Not an exciting thing for some queer communities to want to hear, because it would force them to be accountable to how they're centering the very thing that never wanted them to belong anyway.
Oh my God. Okay, yeah. The first one was definitely more gentle.
Yeah. The first one's gentle. The next one's getting off the pedestal. It's good.
Woo. Hey. I like it. All right. Last question.
Okay.
What are you currently finding pleasure in?
So I saw that question and I was like, oh, this is hard.
I know, everyone says that. And I'm like, that's so funny because it like could be anything.
I know.
But that's what makes it hard, isn't it?
I am currently finding pleasure in, I guess, a couple things. One is sitting the hell down. Shit is not helping in some of the things that I need to be able to get done, because there is a difference between rest and procrastination, and I think I've crossed the line. And then I have also been finding a lot of, so three things actually, I've been finding a lot of pleasure in reintroducing play, in which is due in large part to number three, enjoying this newlywed thing. My wife is actually a beautiful big little kid at heart. So I've been finding a lot of pleasure in not only incorporating play, but not getting in the way of her version of play, because I actually really like it. I know, we're silly and we're excited, and so much of our like newlywedness doesn't feel as new to us in the ways that we've heard other people describe their marriages first starting. We're just like excited to hang out with my best friend type of thing.
Yeah. We're
just like, let's just be like, however you think about that friend that you call when it's Friday and you're like, bitch, we out here, is Alex and I are rocking.
I love that.
So that's bringing me a lot of pleasure. Like, she comes home and I'm like, yes. And then I'm asleep 30 minutes later because I waited too long. But I'm excited to do.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Sometimes that is the best.
It is. Yeah.
I love that.
Enjoying her company in ways that aren't so heavily adult all the time.
I love that so much. I love that. And I don't know if I even had said it yet, but congratulations on that. Oh, you looked gorgeous. And I'm sure that you had such a damn good time.
I did. At a smaller group, we went to New Orleans for 5 days. We had our wedding in the middle, and we kicked people off at a guest list who weren't going to party properly. So we had a great time.
Yes, that's what it's about.
Yeah, it was... Well, there's stories and a half about all of the wildness that leads up to the magic, but it was still magic, and was there, why they were there, what they did for, around, with us, I think speaks to the magic of a lot of things, even in what magic is energy, and you don't create it, you don't break it, you don't lose it, it just shifts. All the physics things they taught you are true about things that
are
also, it shifts, it moves, and we gathered enough people who already held so much joy and love and power in them that the wedding had no possibility to be anything other than magical.
Love it. Oh, I'm so happy, my friend. Oh, actually, I do have one last thing to ask you, which is to please tell folks how they can find you.
You can find me anywhere Black people are fucking. No. So the hub, the easiest way is www.houseofbawdy.com, B-A-W-D-Y. We can also be found in dope spaces where, sorry, not sorry, Black folks, queer folks like to hang out. One being a Buy From a Black Woman business group and a directory.
Yeah.
The app recently launched there as well. So it's a marketplace specifically for like Black folks and Black businesses and things like that. And that has been increasing in popularity. Sometimes it makes my website sales look rude. I'm like, oh, y'all out here. But I'm joining the mailing list, joining the text club. Yeah. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of those things. I'm working on easing back into TikTok. It pissed me off. It kicked off too much content, but we're trying. But yeah, we want to be and are slowly making it true where you think that we should, one, belong, and two, we'll disrupt. So currently, that's the interwebs in all of on the houseofbawdy.com, houseofbawdy on everything, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Myria, Buy From a Black Woman, you know, your next best ex sex's bedroom drawer, all the places.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Well, friends, it's time to go our separate ways. I hope you're feeling as satiated and stimulated from today's podcast as I am. Make sure you rate and review today's episode on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Lastly, head over to rawbarpod.com. That's rawbarpod.com to find out how you can connect with my guests and me and how you can be a part of the Raw Bar Regulars. See you next time.